Hello, lovely listener, and welcome back to We Are Already Free. I'm curious to know if you ever get that feeling that you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing, but you still feel hollowed out, disconnected, numb, burnt out even. Like no matter how much you push, how hard you go, you just can't seem to get it right and show up in the ways you want to show up in your life, to feel like that provider in your life. To acknowledge our guest today is specifically working with men, though this will be incredibly valuable for women who have men in their lives and who are looking for a deeper understanding of what men are going through and also how they can be more in support to the men in their lives. So do listen on, because these feelings of pushing and striving and trying to get it right, to show up, to be a provider, and yet not managing, is more than just a bad mood. Like this is not just, oh, I'm having a tough day. These are alarm systems that are ringing, bells that are ringing, that are letting us know that our vitality, our spirit, our very humanity is on the line. Our beingness is on the line. So this conversation today with our guest is a map inviting you back into alignment, into authenticity. This is returning to a path of purpose, of strength, a path that actually begins simply by stepping outside, connecting back into nature. And our guide, our guest, our companion on this path today is Carl Muir of Provider. He's based in New Zealand, and he is a man who has walked through the fire of his own burnout, his own breakdown, to discover these messages, these truths for himself. Carl helps good men to rediscover their purpose and vitality through a reconnection journey in nature, and has found this path only because his old one became impossible to walk. So that feels like a really beautiful place for us to begin this podcast. And thanks for being here again. Welcome back to We Are Already Free, a podcast helping down-to-earth seekers and awakening souls to reconnect with their worthiness, their joy, and get clear so they can remember their sovereignty in this moment. Thank you for being here. When you hear the words, we are already free, what comes up for you?
Acceptance.
Change.
Shift in awareness.
Human beings are so powerful.
There's so much more.
Everything is love behind it.
Breaking the chains of your own mind.
That which remains.
Nature.
Getting out of the matrix.
We're sitting on the treasure and it's already unlocked.
We are already free.
You're free.
You are a walking map.
Have always been free.
You are always free.
Already free.
We are already free.
Brother Carl, welcome to the podcast.
Kia ora, Nathan. Pleasure to be here. What a beautiful introduction. Thank you very much, brother.
Yeah, thank you, man. I'm honored to sit here with you this morning at my time. I know it's evening your time. We're on other sides of the world. And as I was kind of reading up on your bio and just reconnecting with the little bit that I know about you and looking at your work online, I see you as a man who is showing up fully in his power. This is my projection. This is what I've witnessed in you myself. And I see you as a leader, a guide, a hunter, father, partner, mentor. And I'm curious to hear what brought you to this space of responsibility. You know, was there a time where this wasn't the man that you are? And could you take us to, like, in a way, that breaking point, that point, like how bad did it get before you felt that call to step onto this path?
Oh, going straight into it, eh, brother?
All the way in, bro.
Yeah. I guess I've, in a roundabout way, always been on this path, right? Always getting nudged on this path. I guess what really made me step into it was, I guess, some might call it a dark night of the soul. About 7 years ago, one of the darkest places I went to was 3 weeks in a psych ward. So let's just start there. So having been reasonably successful in my mid-40s, I'd run a very successful business, had a successful corporate career before that, successful, you know, had a long-standing marriage, kids, property, pretty financially sound. And, then found myself just in a reasonably poor state of mental health for about a year, was bouncing back, and then divorce, just wondering who I was and where I was going. But in that space, I had a lot of stuff that no longer served me burn away, right? And it was a pretty lonely place for a while. Pretty lonely place, brother. Lots of questions to ask of myself and how I'd got there. And the only way out of it, while I might have been looking for answers from other people at the time, the only way out of it, the only person who was going to get me out of it was myself. And I just had to dig deep and do the work myself, look for the breadcrumbs, and bit by bit, just build my way back up. And I guess that's what I help men do in the work and the mahi that I do, is help men rebuild if they've been through what they perceive as failure. We all go through it at some time in our life. You know, we're told that life is a linear path, keep going until we retire, and then we retire. And actually, it's not. It's a roller coaster, brother. You carry all this stuff with you through life. And if you just keep putting it in your backpack, it gets heavier and heavier, and sooner or later you've got to let some stuff out of it, right? So chuck it in the fire and start again. Mm, sure. Only going through that death of self, of ego, that you come back to who you really are and remember who you really are. So I run a out of that, I run a. I found it very difficult while I was going through my journey to find anything out there. Maybe that was hidden from me, so I had to go through it. But I couldn't find, you know, anything out there. And out of it, I started to see all these women's retreats pop up. And as I was learning more and more about myself and doing short courses and all sorts of things, from meditation to energy healing to all sorts, understanding how I'd got there, then I sort of thought, there's not really that much out there for men. And I guess the nature of what I've always done has been guiding men in the outdoors. I'm 51 now. At the age of 30, I had this deep calling to show people where I grew up in my backyard. I grew up fishing and diving with my father, with his friends, grew up fishing with my grandparents, out in the outdoors catching beautiful wild protein and cooking it over open fires and this sort of thing, and going to university and then into the corporate world, I saw this massive disconnect in the cities with people not knowing where their food comes from or not knowing where well-being comes from, right? And I felt a little bit out of place in the corporate world and just had this burning desire to get back home. And at that time, tourism in New Zealand was really taking off, and thought I could use this burgeoning industry of tourism and this concept we have in our country, Aotearoa New Zealand, of manaakitanga, which means hospitality, so making a living out of hospitality, and also kaitiakitanga, which is looking after the land, moulding those things together and just taking guests coming to New Zealand fishing. And so at the age of 30, that's what I did. And to me, I had to put fear behind, follow my heart, my calling, my gut, into my what I thought was my dream job. And it was my dream job for a while, but like anything, you know, after 10 years, it had me by, I had it by the tail. It was just dragging me along like a beast. I ended up a fishing charter business with 3 boats and staff. Yeah, it became what I thought was my dream job, just completely burnt me out. By the age I was 40, and so I sold it, and at the same time I sold it, I sort of sold my identity, and I found myself like, well, at the age of 40 I'm semi-retired, but who am I if I'm not doing that thing that I always dreamed of doing, and I've all of a sudden sold and stepped away from it? Who am I? And at the same time, something really pivotal in my life happened, which is my father passed away. He got sick with a brain tumor in his early 60s, and that was, my father, the name of what I do now, my purpose is provider, which is a bit of a tribute to him, because he was the provider for our family, for me and my sisters and my mum, and my mum and dad were both providers, right, for us, and I had a really solid upbringing, hardworking parents. Losing the rock, the male of the family, yeah, it was tough, and not necessarily right at that point that he passed away, because at that if he had a brain tumor and he went through it about a year battling cancer. That was hard to watch. And once someone you love passes away, it's almost a bit of relief, right? Because the suffering's ended.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden later on, that grief catches up with you. And so that was my real first time experiencing that real, real pain in my heart of losing someone I really, really love. When things get tough 3 years down the track and you need that man, that male to talk to, and he's not there, it's pretty tough. And it's a process, you know, it's more than 10 years later. I've worked through a lot of it, but still times where that grief never necessarily goes away. You've managed to strip a lot of it away, but it's still tough, bro. So those two things that side by side, then I broke up with my wife of 19 years. So there was coming to terms with a relationship like that coming to an end all within the space of 3 or 4 years. And that was a lot to unpack and process, brother. Yeah. Mm.
And, dang, bro.
I guess now it's almost my duty or my service or my dharma to help men that are going through the same thing get through it, because there is no other way than through it, and there is some light at the end of the tunnel. You know, there's a whole other journey or chapter ahead of any men that are listening in and are struggling. There's a whole other chapter of your life out there. Could be a potentially very, very exciting chapter, but in the meantime, you just got to walk through some of those little dark bits in the middle.
Oh man, thank you so much, Kyle. Thank you for being willing to dive straight in. That's some big pieces to have navigated, to be navigating. As you're speaking, I'm thinking about my own father, and he's actually 76 now, and thank God is in good health. But it's definitely that awareness of time becoming shorter. Just note like that this is, and I don't see him very often, and anyway, just like, yeah, feeling the bigness of that. I can't imagine not being able to just call him on the phone when I need. It makes me want to call him more. So thank you for that. And I'm curious around provider, because that's something that I really noticed with you. You know, we met through an online men's work thing that we were both part of. Do you mind if I say what we were in together? Is that something you...
Yeah, go for it, brother.
So we were both doing a leadership training 10-week course with Sacred Sons, which was just completed recently, and it was really amazing. And a big part of, for me, the amazingness was meeting brothers who on this journey all over the world, and yourself, just witnessing, even in your name on the calls, it was like Carl Provider. And I really, that has stayed with me, and it even just that has been a big thing for me, because just for like brief context around my own story, my mom I don't want to get into too much story, but basically my mom came from a very wealthy family. My dad came from not much. And their kind of interaction together, the whole thing around money and provision and providing, has been really muddy in my experience and in my life. And I'm now a recently new father, and my wife is currently the main breadwinner in our family, and has been pretty much since I've known her. And I'm just the word that keeps coming up for me. I even recently did a big plant medicine journey where I was one of the facilitators, and my intention was to embody more provider energy, to be a provider for my family and for my people. And so I'm just really like deeply resonating with that thing. And so I guess I'm curious, the reason I'm bringing that now is I'm curious for you, what does a provider mean? What is that? How do you define a provider? You specifically.
Good question, brother. I guess the term provider has so many connotations, but for me, it's the essence of why I do what I do, which is taking men into the outdoors. Fishing is, I guess, at the core of a lot of my experiences, and so I'm a big believer that we should get our kai, our food, as close to nature without any human or corporate interference as possible. And so I'm a big believer in catching our food from the ocean or from the forest and from our gardens, growing it ourselves. And so nature provides everything we need at the end of the day. Provides pretty much all our medicine, right? Most of the pharmaceutical industry comes from the forest, in one way or another, right? So we can bypass them and go straight to the forest, straight to the garden, straight to the ocean. So it's being a provider is about, me, for my family, financially, but also emotionally as well, just being a good role model and being there emotionally for my children, keeping an eye out that they're brought up with the right values and that they're brought up to look out for their fellow human as well and the planet, which I'm proud of all of my children, that they go about their life not just thinking about themselves, but how they can be of service to their community and also look out for the environment as well. I think you take it a lot deeper. It's that everything we need is actually provided for us in our DNA, provided for us by our ancestors. Now we have something like 30,000 ancestors on either side standing behind us, right? And when men turn up to me, you know, men are reaching out, they're burnt out, stressed, got anxiety, ADHD, depression, and want to come on this 4-day journey with me. It's one of the first things I remind them, right? You're caught up in your head, but yeah, your troubles compared to some of the struggles your ancestors have been through for you to get here, pretty insignificant, really. You know, think of the journeys they had to go through, the wars they had to go through, the famines they had to go to, and all that resilience is provided for you in your DNA. You can get through this. Yeah, so that's provider. And if you take it even deeper, it is look after your body, align your body, your mind, your spirit. The universe provides anything you want as long as it's aligned with, you know, your purpose and aligned with everyone around you. If you're walking this earth doing good with good intentions, the universe will provide whatever you want.
Thank you.
You just got to be very clear on what you want, right? So one of the ways I got myself into that dark place, the mind is a powerful machine, right? Anything you want, you know, you can create it. But if your thoughts are negative, if you're wallowing in too much for too long periods of time in grief and shame and anger and even jealousy and all these negative emotions, it's like the death spiral, right? And it'll take you down and down and down. And the biggest step to me stepping out of it was realizing that what we put out, what we concentrate on, when that goes out into the universe, it comes back to us, right? The universal law. Yeah, and that was a changing point for me. It's okay, I just got to slow, just bit by little bit, step into that growth spiral, shift a little bit. Even if I've still got a bit of shame, just focus a little bit more on the gratitude, a little bit more on the peace, a little bit more on the love, learning to love myself again. And that's a big thing. I guess what I'm trying to do with men is when I ask men to describe or even rate out of 10 how much love is in their life, and they'll relate it to their relationship with their beloved, right? I'm like, okay, well, how much do you love yourself? And it's a hard question for a lot of men because they rate love on externally, on the love that they have someone else or the love that someone else is giving them. But how much do they really love themselves and look after themselves and give themselves enough rest and sleep and nourishment and good food, good thoughts, congratulating themselves? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, man, I love that contextualization. It's part of the work I was doing in this Sacred Sons piece was around showing up, and I'm currently calling in a lot more abundance into my life, specifically around income, And I've just shifted how I'm doing it. Instead of it being like, it's kind of like send me more, it's help me to see how I can serve more, how I can provide more value, basically, is the thing that I keep focusing on. Is if I could provide $10,000 worth of value to my community right now, like what would that look like? And then focusing on bringing, so like I'm playing a show in a couple of weeks for the first time in a long time, and it feels so resonant and so aligned. And so it's like, I'm calling in abundance, but I'm calling in abundance through service, through showing up with my gifts and my alignment. So I hear you reflecting that as well, of like, instead of sitting here going, oh my gosh, why isn't there enough, et cetera? It's like, oh, well, where am I not giving enough is a better question, or where could I give more in a way that is authentic and resourced and, yeah, aligned with purpose and service? At least that's what I'm taking from a lot of what you're sharing.
Yeah, the universe is abundant, brother, and you've only got to look into nature for that. And in this, you know, if you look on screens, Facebook, TikTok, there's scarcity, there's chaos. You get into nature, and it's just abundant. There's growth. So I just can't walk around. If I want to remind myself of how abundant the universe is, all I got to do is walk through my garden and just see the new growth all around me all the time. And trees I planted 5 years ago growing, and you know, even what people might call weeds, the dandelions, and we call it the thistle, the puha here, which is actually great medicine. Yeah, this concept of being a provider, I guess I see myself in multiple industries, so it could be health and wellbeing, fishing, tourism, and what I love about the tourism industry, or always have ever since I studied at university, is that this concept of manaaki tanga, hospitality, by bringing people into your community, you know, they're spending a bit of money with me on the wellbeing service that I'm providing, but by showing them all these amazing places, I take them to islands 12 miles offshore, I take them into the forest, up the rivers, to the top of mountains to get another perspective on life. And the men I'm taking on these journeys, you know, they want to bring their families back. They'll bring their families back and book into accommodation here, spend money at restaurants and retail, petrol station. When I take fishing crews out, it's the same. I'll take them out of my boat and they'll pay for my boat. But then these people are spending money throughout town. So by doing something, by stepping into purpose, you're also being a provider for your community in so many ways. Yeah. And the flow on. That's why I love tourism. I love tourism. Amazing. And the collaborations. And then I love, you know, I'm seeing that in health and wellbeing, all this collaboration as well. You know, even we're talking about this and linking up from different countries. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you're inspiring me so much to think, how could I do something like this where I am? I have access to beautiful spaces. I love men's work. I love transformational work, any kind of, like you said, health and wellness, where it's about coming back to the body, coming back to getting in cold water, breathing deeply. Like, it just feels so aligned. And I think that's part of the reason I called you on, is just the sense of, wow, that's such a great combination. And actually, it leads me into the nature piece, because that is a piece that has been missing too much in my own life. Even though I live in a very natural, beautiful space, I have had a tendency to spend too much time on internet, on social media, feeling that sense of scarcity. And so as I reconnect more with nature myself, I see, wow, this could be such a beautiful thing to bring to others. And I actually would like, I see it's on your shirt and I have it noted down here, but I wanted to ask you to read or to speak for us, that, is it Maori, the I am nature and nature is me, and just explain a little more to us about that message that you're bringing through.
Yeah. Ko o te tai ao, ko te tai ao ko o, which is I am nature, nature is me. Yeah. I am nature, nature is me. Yeah.
And so what is it you see, what do you see happening?
We're all a part of nature, brother. And, you know, so many of us have forgotten it. There's a disconnect. And so part of what I'm trying to do is bring men back to nature to remember that they can heal themselves. Everything you need to heal is in nature, and we're a part of it. If we see ourselves as separate from us, we'll never get well. That's that simple.
Simple is good.
Yeah. I mean, we can take our disconnect. You just see it in so many different ways, bro. You know, I see it in this so many things that, you know, our kids are getting led down the garden path with being told not to eat meat, like our ancestors ate meat, and meat being demonized. And I understand, I think we should be doing it in an ethical way, right? And you know, the more factory farmed animal protein is, the less it is good for you, the less it is good for the environment and the planet. But the further we go into nature to source our animal protein, the better it is for everyone, and the less energy is consumed, and the more minerals and vitamins you're getting out of it. We are a part of nature, and you feel a cold coming on, all you got to do is step out and find the plants in your backyard that are good for you. You don't need to go to the chemist a lot of the time.
yeah, beautiful. I'm curious, like, what is the shift you see? So when you, like, a man comes to you and he's attending for the first time, and as you express, some of the things that they're often you're witnessing is burnout, stress, is disconnection, is overwhelm, I imagine, and like hopelessness, a sense of feeling stuck and trapped in a certain way. What are some of the shifts you see, and how is that related to nature? If that's possible to express, but like, what do you see happening to men if you're observing from the outside as you spend some more time in nature or hunt or fishing, etc.? Like, how does that affect them, and what do you see them going through?
Good question, brother. So I think the main one is coming back to our senses, right? Because a lot of us are in our head. Right. So it's bringing men back into their bodies, and that's the first thing we do is bringing them back to their breath, bringing back to their sense of sight, their sense of smell, taste, touch, through sensory experiences. First thing I do is walk them through my garden and get them to taste some plants, look at the different patterns of plants, look at the different colors. You know, you look into I say to men on their journey here, you know, what colors were you seeing as you drove here? Some of them might say green and brown. I say, well, look around now. How many different shades of green are there? We're so often so in our heads, we forget to open our eyes and look around. And as soon as we start doing that, we stop worrying about the past, all these things from the past that we're ruminating on. Stop worrying about what may be around the corner in the future, and we just come into the moment. And in the moment, this, I guess, what we try and create on our retreats is a separation from everything out there in the made-up world, and just come back into liminal space that is separate from the past, separate from the future, and just right now in the moment. Yeah, turning the phones off is just such a big part of that these days. Turning the phones off, just a simple thing. I get to the end of 4 days, and we reflect on what the highlights of our retreat is, and that will always be one of them. Not having your phone on and being just caught up in the scrolling or just the constant phone calls, having the laptop off. But, you know, I can genuinely just see it in men's eyes. I can tell you're on the right path, Nathan. You got that. I can see the whites in your eyes. I can see the awesome, vibrant blue in your eyes. So you obviously look after yourself, right? And I can see that shift in men after four days. A lot of them, just because we eat solely from nature. I do buy a bit of stuff, and I do a very careful navigation around the supermarket when I shop for our retreat, only getting the good stuff. That's a whole nother podcast in itself.
Definitely.
But the clean eating, the clean eating is huge. Men get to the end of 4 days and, like, they'll say, I thought I ate well, but quite clearly I didn't. Like, I'm feeling so, so good. The aches and pains go away. The sleep gets better. Yeah, the brain fog starts to go. These are the big shifts we see. I guess the weight starts to come off the shoulders just by being able to talk in a safe space with other men. So we create a space that is judgment-free. So you say whatever you want, as long as you're not judging other people, say whatever you want. It's confidential, so nothing leaves a group. Just getting outside your normal peer group for a lot of men is life-changing. A lot of men growing up and just keep hanging out with the same mates all the time and talking the same shit, and to get into a group of men they've never met and just talk from the heart, and they can talk about some really deep personal things without being judged. It's life-changing, brother. I see it every time. You know how I started off this podcast, just going, you asked me, but that is how I start my retreat. I go straight to why are we here? And this is why I'm here. This is where I've come from. And that just gives the other men permission to, you know, I've told them something which, you know, I could still be sitting in shame with that, but you know, I've just shared it on a podcast with you. It's going all over the internet. So I say that on my retreats, and it just gives men permission to open up themselves and speak from the heart, speak about something they haven't told anyone, potentially for a long, long time, might not have told anyone at all, even their partner or their wife. And the weight then comes off their shoulders. And once weight comes off your shoulders and you've let this stuff out, it's a release. You get it out of your body. Nature takes care of it. You know, we're doing this work in nature, and nature is healing just in its own right. Just being in nature, your cortisol levels drop and serotonin levels rise and come back into rest and digest, back towards homeostasis. And it's so healing, bro. It's so healing. The big work then is how do men carry this into their life, because it's all very well going and doing 4 days in nature. You know, there is a release, and quite often that is enough, just getting some of that stuff out. But I always say the retreats will only be life-changing if you change your life, right? And that doesn't mean completely moving cities or changing, like going and quitting your job, or it just means taking something small or a few small things back in your day-to-day. So one of those big things is breath work. So a lot of men don't know how to breathe properly, but breathing, belly breathing, slowing their breath right down. We start that very small and build it up over 4 days to about 1 or 2 hours of breath work. Same with meditation, start very, very small. A lot of men have connotations about what meditation even is, but really all meditation is being able to concentrate on something and quieten that chatter down, right, and just come back to some focus, come back to center. And so being able to practice these things out in nature, just in person, I think is important. A lot of it's accessible online, but the whole point of these things is trying to learn it so you can just do it yourself without having to pick up a device.
Yeah.
Not get trapped in this constant digital trap of having to do things on devices all the time. Just try to do these things. Go out into nature. Just put your back against a tree, connect into the tree, and meditate. It's so powerful. Yeah, because if you meditate by the tree, you become the tree. You meditate by the mountain, you become the mountain. All these, you know, these wise sayings that have been passed down, they're true.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for that little, that's such a beautiful invitation. I'm like, meditate by the tree, you become the tree. It's so beautiful. So, you know, we've covered actually a lot of what I really wanted to touch on in this conversation so far. And I mean, there's definitely like whole episodes we could do, as you said, around food, around how to shop, around all these different things. But I really want to honor time. And I also have a bit of a time limit today. But I wanted to share something with you, which is related to your I am nature, nature is me. And there's in South Africa or in Africa, there's a saying Ubuntu, which is basically we are one. Like it's another one of those sayings. And there's another version of that. And I hope that I say it at least close to accurately, but it says, Ubuntu Ngubuntu Ngabantu. Ubuntu Ngubuntu Ngabantu. And it means people are people through people, basically. People are people because of people. And so it's this invitation to so much of what you've been speaking to. And I love how it intermingles there with I am nature, nature is me. And we are people because of each other, because we come together and we remember ourselves together. And so I'm hearing you reflecting and resonating on that. And actually, that's kind of the last official question I want to ask you, which is around your work and where people can find you, because I'm sure that there are some listening to this, hopefully who are in New Zealand, but at least who might want to learn a bit more and just be inspired. I know we've talked about getting off your devices, and I completely agree. And I also checked out your Instagram before this call, and I felt like that was the kind of stuff I want to follow more of online, because it reminds me to get outside more. And I think that's the kind of the thing that's worth checking out. So what are your projects active right now? Where would you want people to find you? What do you want people to know about your work?
Yeah, brother. Well, my 4-day wellbeing retreat, I do get primarily Kiwis coming on it. However, I have had men travel from all around the world to be a part of it as well. And we just love, as Kiwis, it's always a breath of fresh air when someone travels, hops on a plane from another continent to come here. So I'd welcome any man that wants to come. Like you alluded to, you know, it's not just men reaching out to begin with. Probably 60% of the inquiries I get are the men reaching out themselves. Probably the other 40% would be the wives or the partners reaching out for their men, sometimes family members. So I honor that that women have that gift of knowing when their men need to step into that, into some of these spaces, and encourage men out there to listen to those little nudges that our women, our wahine, are giving us. And so a lot of what we try and do on these retreats too is really let men, by stripping away the day-to-day that they're caught up in, to really come back to their gifts. Mm. You know, the gifts they're born with, the gifts they've developed over life, you know, that they're what they really dropped in on this earth to do, their dharma, their purpose. And so, you know, when you're talking about wanting to step into this work as well, Nathan, you know, I see your gifts. Yeah. And you're a beautiful man. And, you know, one of your gifts, you got a reminder of it hanging up behind you, bro. So keep using it. Keep using that gift. Your storytelling, your intro onto this podcast was so spot on. So keep it going, brother. Keep up the mahi. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
And that's something, you know, we try and do on our retreats at the end of it is we get to the end of the retreat and I'll talk to each man's gift that I see. And it's probably the most important part of the retreat, and a lot of men don't see it coming. And then I'll encourage them to go around and do the same thing with the other men. And, you know, you'll see, I could be sitting across from someone older than me who's 60 or 70, and they've never heard this and heard these gifts on it, and the tears will come out. It's what they've been waiting for their whole life. And it's important for us to, when we see these gifts in other people, nurture them, encourage them, honor them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And please share the link. I will share in the show notes as well, but what is the best link to find your work?
Yeah, www.theprovider.co.nz.
Perfect. Thank you. And one last question before we end this for today. When you hear "We Are Already Free," what comes up for you?
Right. This is a good question. I actually researched my name. I'm 51 years old and I researched my name the other day, Karl. And it means, apparently it goes back to Karl in German, which means strong, free man. So free. We're already free. What does that mean to me? It means that all we have to do is come take a breath. Our breath is our freedom. Just come back to the breath. That's our freedom. As when we breathe in, we remember our own superpowers that we have inside. As long as we're breathing, we are free. Freedom is all around you. Take a walk in nature. You're a part of nature. Just remember it, and we're free.
Thank you, brother. That was amazing. And thank you for coming on the podcast. It's been such an honor and a pleasure. And I've got one more question for you, which we'll do in a little bonus chat for the patrons of the podcast. But for now, yeah, just giving thanks, man. I'm going to put you into the green room. And thanks again, Carl. What a pleasure.
Thanks, Nathan. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Beautiful people, thank you for joining me again. And thank you, Carl. What a grounding conversation. I don't know about you, but when I listen to Carl, I just feel the sense of like rootedness, like, oh, it's going to be okay. We've got this. This is going to be fine. And so, yeah, I think my big takeaway is to keep leaning into the gifts, lean into the gifts, be of service, and to realize that by being a provider, I enable other people to also be providers by bringing in business, by bringing in tourism even, that gives opportunities for my people around me to grow and to shine and to transform. So giving thanks again, please do go to Carl's site. You can check it out in the show notes, visit his work, support him, share him with your men, share him with your people. And just giving big thanks. And so if you want to dive a little deeper with us, I'm going to ask him a question about raising good kids, because he's a father. And as you can hear, he's someone who is very serious about this. And I believe has raised good kids. And I want to ask him that question. So if you want to access that bonus chat, do become a patron of this podcast. Thank you so much to all the new patrons who've been joining me on Patreon. I want to thank you for being a co-creator. I wanted to give a shout out to Maria, to Brian, to Dusky, to Martin, to Kelly, to Trinia, and to Cassandra. Thank you all so very much. You are helping me to co-create this experience for all of us, and it means the world to me. If you're interested, go to alreadyfree.me/Patreon to find out more. And thank you so much for listening to We Are Already Free. And just giving thanks again to Carl. Thanks to you for listening. I wish you all the blessings. And as always, please remember, we are already free.